to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GBB. This week, we sit down with Dave McDowell, the CEO and co-founder of FSB, a leading B2B sports betting technology platform that offers up soup-to-nuts to operators of U.S. sportsbooks. The GBB podcast is brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. While FSB is somewhat late to the party for U.S. sports betting, CEO Dave McDowell says the wait will be worth it. FSB has developed some of the most cutting-edge technology that will vault their online sportsbook clients years ahead of their competitors. Founded in 2007, FSB has innovative platforms and CRM systems, as well as expertise in casino aggregation. The company has also developed a sophisticated wallet and is currently making inroads in the U.S. online gaming market. McDowell spoke with me from his offices in London in September. Dave McDowell, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's great to meet you, at least virtually, across the ocean here. Your company is very interesting. I've just really gotten into looking into the company, and you've got some great background. So why don't you tell us how it developed and where you're going with it?
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks, Roger. Very nice to be on the podcast today. At FSB, we've been in the game for 13 years, and it's been we're one of the few companies that started out specifically to design and build our own sports betting software to target the B2B supply market. And the company was started in 2007 with my co-founder and CTO Sam Lawrence, and we had spent 6 years working together in the online industry already. So we came at this with a really good understanding of how systems integrated for online gaming technology. And in 2007, we could see that live data coming from the stadium, it was our hypothesis that live data would get collected and be turned into real-time data feeds that would become more granular, would be delivered more quickly and more reliably. And then those data feeds would drive real-time pricing models, which would just cause a fundamental change in the way that you architect a sportsbook technology and the way that you run and manage a sportsbook. And back in 2007, it was really quite funny because we then started looking for these data feeds and realized they didn't exist. The fastest data feed that we could find was probably 45 to 50 seconds delayed because people were taking things off of television pictures and the systems weren't designed to really get you fast data. And over the subsequent years, we just became experts at handling live data. Whenever a new supplier would start offering data feeds, we would try and integrate those. And today we run a highly automated sports book covering some 35,000 live events last month, despite COVID, and using a wide range of data feed suppliers in a very modern sports betting technology.
Great. So, how did you actually turn it into a business in terms of actually selling your services, your experience in Europe and your clients over there?
So, a lot of what we wanted to do at FSB was because we could see the business model around casino and bingo and poker all had a service supply business where the supplier was providing a turnkey solution. But nobody could do that in sports betting because the technology was too complex and you needed 250 traders to run your sports book. And I felt that there was a market for what today is now commonly known as an MTS or managed trading system.
Right.
And so it was, we just set out specifically to build a managed trading system because nobody was doing it for sports, but the vast majority of the casino, the bingo, and the poker industry were run with that business model. So we just thought, let's take the biggest sector and reinvent the business model using modern technology.
Okay. So did you have some clients in the casino side of the business at that point?
We really started out in those early days when we were learning to handle data feeds, and what we were doing was focusing more on the fantasy sports side of business. And we were doing live player ratings, and we were building models where we could take bets on which player would score the most fantasy points in a game. Uh-huh. And then in 2012, we signed up Genting Casinos as our first customer for our full-scale sportsbook. And okay. So we then worked with Genting for several years to launch that sportsbook and to integrate it into their online casino.
Okay, great. So what kind of services does FSB offer?
So today we offer a full turnkey service which covers both retail and online sports betting, and it also includes the whole iGaming suite of the PAM, or the player account management platform, and casino aggregation tools. It also includes the user interface, the user experience channels, fully responsive websites. We build iOS apps and Android apps, and even build retail self-service. Well, we don't build the hardware, but we offer self-service betting kiosks and over-the-counter betting systems.
Sure.
So it's really a turnkey service for omni-channel sports betting and for online gaming. And then we back that up with the service delivery of offering a fully managed trading service, AML and safe gaming tools, and even marketing support.
Okay, so you employ an army of traders, I would imagine.
Actually, I wouldn't describe them as an army. I would describe them as what's a better term? We've got 14 traders,
okay,
and we're running some 25 different brands across 10 countries on 6 different platforms. It's just a highly automated system where the role of the trader has evolved from a lot of manual data entry,
sure,
to really an expert around managing risk and looking at player profiling.
Okay, I understand. So did you anticipate the legalization of sports betting in the U.S. as quickly as it occurred?
So I've been in online gaming for a good 20 years.
Yeah.
And what we always said was sports betting legislation in America is always 10 years away.
Right. That was my opinion,
and,
too.
And you know, we were saying this back in... Yeah, and in 2005, when UIDEA came in, I thought it was really interesting, and read through the whole description, which created the opportunity for the daily fantasy sports opportunity. And I was looking at daily fantasy sports back in 2005, 2006, after UIDEA came out, but really wanted to focus and get operations set up here in the U.S. where we thought some of those player proposition markets and some of the things that you could do with live data would work better as a fixed odds betting opportunity that you could do in play, rather than having to wait across multiple games, and knew that there'd be a ton of payment processing issues in the U.S. market. It would take years to resolve.
Right. So you were of the opinion that it was going to stretch on, and legislation would just drag along, but nobody really anticipated the state of New Jersey coming through with a case that challenged it.
Yeah, it was interesting when you watch it every single day. It moves like a glacier,
right?
And then all of a sudden, pop!
Right,
it went, and it's been amazing to see how fast, how many states have gone and put positive regulations in place and have moved forward with it. I think looking at when the casino regulation happened in New Jersey, I think everyone thought that the dominoes would start falling then for iGaming, and they just simply didn't.
Right.
There were still too many issues with payment processing, and still too many issues with just general awareness of what it was and how it worked. And, 2013, it took another 5 years, to get sports betting added to it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. It was not surprised that it took so long, but then absolutely impressed at how fast it's rolled out since.
Right. So you mentioned, one of the differences in the U.S. in terms of how you approach this market. What are some of the other differences from European markets and other international markets that is unique to the U.S.?
Well, it's it's kind of funny, and it's what we come across all the time as a system supplier. It's not just a sort of U.S.-Europe thing. It's from one operator to another. And really the question is, how are you going to support differentiation? How are you going to allow your customers to do things differently and stand out from the crowd? And so a lot of our job is to make sure that we've got systems which are flexible enough to be implemented in different ways. And, you know, that can be different ways between two different operators who want a very different look and feel of the product, or different ways between two different regulatory jurisdictions where there are significantly different requirements around taxation or the way the product works, or the way the customer interacts with the product. And so whether it's a user interface experience, a specific market, or some sort of a taxation requirement, it's our job as a supplier to understand those and make sure we build that flexibility into the platform.
So as you mentioned, you know, most states have different tax rates and regulatory requirements and cost of entry. And how difficult does that make it for FSB to really price your services, or does that really impact it at all?
Look, I think that actually really plays into our strength. And again, if I go back to some of the lessons that we were learning as we watched, you know, the UK put in, the UK put in positive legislation in 2005 and forgot about tax.
Right.
And everybody went offshore to Gibraltar and Albany and Isle of Man. EYGA, I think I misspoke earlier, I guess 2006 it came in.
Right.
And then we very quickly saw Italy ring-fence and France ring-fence. And it was obvious to us that the whole dot-com model of online gaming was going to be breaking down into a country-by-country approach. And so this was happening as we were writing our business plan for FSB. And so we've specifically designed a system where you can have a distributed architecture of the sports betting platforms. So we can put a sportsbook platform in many different states, but maintain a centralized control over the data and the pricing. And it's just much more efficient technology when you can architect it this way. And so, you know, again, we've got that team of 14 traders, and today we run six different physical platforms with that team, just sending different pricing strategies in as necessary to those different platforms.
I see. Uh-huh. So another aspect of the U.S. market is the fierce competition. Here in New Jersey, for example, there are almost 30 players in the market. How does FSB help your partners stand out in such a crowded field?
Yeah, it's not just the number of operators. It's when you look at the amount of money that the MGMs, the DraftKings and FanDuel are all throwing at trying to own this market, it's very difficult to cut through when you've got that level of competition.
Right.
And again, it all comes down to what is your brand? You know, I would say to any operator, what is your brand? Why is a company? Why is a customer going to interact with your brand? You know, how are you going to stand out differently? And again, our job as a technology supplier is to make sure that you've got the effective tools to differentiate yourself. You know, we build really flexible CRM tools, and we try to build the business intelligence systems that help you understand the effectiveness of how you use those CRM tools. We can even help you use those CRM tools with our sales team. But I think it's really important for the operators themselves to focus as much effort as possible on customer acquisition and retention and building their brand. It doesn't have to be the operator that's making the most noise. Sure, they may be getting, a large number of customer registrations through the millions of pounds that are being deployed. But if you've got a brand and you've got a message to your consumers, I mean, we've got some fantastic brands over here that are very successful in the UK market, mm-hmm. where I describe it as much more mature, where you've got a very clear small group of very large leaders with Hills and GVC and Bet365, Paddy
right.
Power,
uh-huh.
pretty much owning Sky Bet.
Sure.
Pretty much owning the market, yet small operators on our platform with smaller budgets have done a fantastic job of building valuable businesses because they've got the tools to be a little bit smarter with their marketing.
Right.
And instead of going head to head with somebody with a bigger marketing budget, just be smarter about where you're deploying it and take care of your customers in a more efficient way.
Right.
Rather than being a blunt instrument, just kind of be a scalpel.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I think in doing my research on your company, you know, I seem to really notice that you really place a lot of emphasis on the players. Obviously, they're the most important part of any sports betting solution. So how does FSB make it easier and more transparent for players to enjoy the experience?
I think one of the things that we've always tried to do is have as much control over the product as possible. And we've got a number of data feed suppliers that we work with. But for the most important sports, we try to focus on building our own pricing models. And what that allows us to do is then offer unique markets or display the markets in a different way through products like Create a Bet, and I know there are a number of customers that are offering Create a Bet, but I think a good example is we delivered the Create a Bet product, and it's a product that allows you to combine markets that happen within a single game in a way that you traditionally wouldn't be able to combine. You need to know the underlying probabilities and related contingencies in order to price that market up.
Sure.
And so, you know, having the technology to be able to offer that market is great, but where it really came alive was when our product team and the marketing team started pre-configuring those markets and putting them into a widget and moving them onto different pages, you know, like the homepage, or putting them on different places on the website, so the customer could actually just click on one of these pre-configured creative bets and place it, you know, the wager quite quickly. And it's in that way that we're helping operators improve their margins, moving from, you know, over here, football is traditionally, you know, 7 or 8% type of, you know, margin.
Sure.
And pushing some of the volume into 25 and, you know, 20-25% margin creative bet products, and making it more engaging for the end user because they've now got something which has got a payout, a much more exciting payout for them because it's got a 10, 15, 20 to 1 you know, return on their money. So it's really there's no one silver bullet of how you make the customer experience better. It's just about being pretty methodical about the, you know, making sure the website is fast and responsive and clean, and trying to put some unique content in front of the
sure.
audience like that.
Sure, absolutely. So I guess I also understand that you are, you know, very much behind the machine betting, artificial intelligence type of systems that are going in, and I don't pretend to understand any of that. But how important is the progress in that area, you know, to the success of your company and your clients?
I think it's a fascinating area of technology development. And I think if you look at everything, you know, not just sports and sports betting, but your thermostats and understanding, you know, when it should turn on. You know, there's so much machine learning and artificial intelligence going on around us and every facet of our life. It's just undeniable that technology and having a good command of the data is just so important. And the way that we're trying to use it isn't just around pricing models. It's also to try and help push forward the agenda on safe gaming, to try to make sure that we're doing a better job at trying to understand when a customer might show problems of distress so that we can make sure that they get off of the marketing list and potentially have an interaction with them and let them know where they can go to get help.
Sure.
So we're looking at really, you know, moving away from AI involved in the pricing models, but also then looking at the consumer behavior. And I think there's a continuum that crosses sort of responsible gaming and marketing. You know, if you're too aggressive in marketing, then you're causing troubles on the responsibility side of things.
Sure.
And I think you need to know where a customer sits on that spectrum, and using your data analytics to really make sure that you're running the site in the most responsible way.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's That's very admirable to really be paying attention to that, because some of these companies apparently don't. So I'm glad to hear that from you. So, you know, I've been covering sports betting for a lot of years, way before it was legalized here. And the guys that were always talking about the possibilities of sports betting, you know, always focused on in-play, in-running betting. And obviously that's coming to fruition here to a large extent. But how much does that still have to grow to really, you know, create the critical mass that, that will make sports betting a real profitable business?
The technology is there. I think what needs to grow is a lot of consumer awareness. Obviously, there are so many more states that, that this needs to roll out to. But I think, I was listening to some comments from the American Gaming Association, and it really was talking about the battle is still about building awareness that there is a regulated market,
right?
Compared to There's such a large black market, which still goes on, and there's I was speaking to a friend of mine in Michigan who I went to college with, and I told him this is back in early 2018, maybe even 17, and I told him how excited I was that sports betting was going to become legal, and he said, "What are you talking about? I was just down at the casino in Detroit the other day and placed a bet on the wings."
Right.
I just thought, what? He was in a physical casino in Detroit, yeah, betting on the Red Wings, and he thought he was doing it legally. I can't imagine what that setup was.
Right.
And I think that just goes to highlight the extent of the problem, I think.
Sure.
And the in-play technology that we've got here in Europe is absolutely fantastic. Like I said, back in 2007, I think that's when when in-play betting really first came onto my radar, and the technology advancements, you know, it's 13 years of focus on technology around in-play betting.
Right.
All the technology is there. It's much more about building the consumer awareness and learning how an American sports betting customer wants to engage with a mobile app in order to wager their bet, you know, place their in-play bets. What do they want to bet on? How do they want to use the cash out functionality? And I think that's really where those opportunities to cut through and do a better job with your marketing spend is really if you can understand the consumer better than just, you know, throwing offers at them.
Sure.
And that's really an opportunity to steal a march on the competition.
Yeah, I agree. Education, I think, is the key to getting in play more popular in the States for sure.
FSB is more than just a platform. With more than 100,000 live sporting events traded by FSB teams each year, FSB has the experience to help you launch the most exciting U.S. sports betting operation. Built by experts with years of experience and powering some of the world's most successful brands, the FSB platform has been created to put you in charge of your business. FSB helps by creating online and retail solutions that are supported by an incredibly strong mobile offering with marketing, trading, payments, and all the other tools required to support a world-leading sports book. The FSB team is good, but their technology is great. And now back to our podcast.
So you recently received a significant investment from ClareVest, a company that's very familiar with the gaming industry. How is this going to take FSB to the next level?
It's first of all, it's a huge endorsement because ClareVest are certainly an incredibly well-respected private equity firm, and I think something like 50% of their investments have been into the retail casino industry. They spent a considerable amount of time, you know, looking to expose their funds to online sports betting software, and they chose us. I think that's just a great endorsement, and so that brand awareness that we get, and that credibility that we get from ClareVest has been fantastic. It's really started opening doors, and we're now 12 months into the investment, and the last 12 months can really just be summarized as getting our house in order. We've always had great technology. We've been really trying to build up and beef up our operations, but we've not had a significantly strong senior management team, and we've not had a business development department. So the first year was a lot of recruiting, hiring. We've now got an absolutely fantastic, I've got a full-time CFO for the first time. We started in January. We've got a fantastic operation, chief operating officer. We've restructured the whole business around the service delivery areas of sports betting, platform, marketing, IT hosting, and retail. And we've focused on building up the sales, the business development team. So it's literally right now that we're just starting to say, okay, we're ready to move into America. We recognize that we're not in the U.S. yet, and a lot of the potential buyers discount us because they want to move as quickly as possible, and we recognize that. And that's just a particular challenge with landing your first customer. We weren't ready in 2018. We didn't get the funding done until 2019. We weren't a big enough company to be able to succeed in 2018 when the market first opened. And I wasn't going to go to the U.S. and start over-promising things that we couldn't deliver at the time. So it's great that we've had that investment in. We've gotten the house in order, and now we're ready to just charge forward.
Sure, absolutely. So there's been a lot of IPOs in the last few months here in the sports betting arena, with the SPACs craze going on here. That's another aspect to it. Is this a precursor to FSB going public?
I can't say that it is, but the valuations are, I'll just say, impressive.
Yeah.
And it's a number of them have gone pop pop pop. It's quite interesting to watch. But look, I think we're as a company, we've got a very clear understanding of what we need to do to create value for our shareholders. And that's really just a focus on our geographical expansion. We're winning business in Europe. We're winning business in Africa. We're making inroads into Latin America. And strategically, the U.S. is a hugely important place for us.
Absolutely.
I think that Clairvest has the capital backing. We don't need to do an IPO to go and raise more money. And none of us are looking to sell our shares. I think we can make some incredible advancements on our corporate value over the next 3 to 5 years, and really we've got a whole management team which is focused on creating values, and we're aligned with the shareholders. We don't really see a need to try and flip this thing quick into an IPO and run away. We're
right
here for the long haul. It's not anything we're particularly looking at right now.
Great. So just one more question. Where would you like to see FSB in the next 5 years?
Well, critically, we're on the cusp of some great conversations that we hope are going to convert into sales. And then, quite pragmatically, the sales effort takes a long time. It takes a long time to onboard customers and go live and get systems launched. But finding the right partners, there's no reason why we couldn't be in every state that's regulated and also be thriving in Europe. I think we very much have the opportunity to set ourselves apart from the crowd. I think if we look at the incumbent suppliers of sports betting technology, I'd largely put them into two camps: either sort of legacy technology, which is past the sell by date, or some of the sort of more black box, not very flexible technology that's been spun out of a B2C operator.
Sure.
And I think the market opportunity for a modern, modular, flexible solution is phenomenal. So it's difficult for me to really kind of pin numbers on where do we want to be 5 years from now. I think that over the next couple of years, we just want to put our head down. We want to land some good business. We want to get the right partners. And we know that the future is very bright. There's just a fantastic opportunity for us. We're hoping that more iGaming legislation will follow the sports betting as well, because I think that our platform and our casino aggregation tools are second to none as well, and so we're hoping that more states will go down the right route of New Jersey and Michigan, and try to bundle iGaming in with the sports betting as well.
Yeah, I think once people, I think the states have already seen, you know, what happened in New Jersey during the shutdown, that New Jersey didn't completely lose all tax revenue, and they had a fallback position. So I think a lot of states have perked up their ears in that, and we'll see them coming into the iGaming arena as well.
We had, when COVID hit, we had a number of our operators whose sports turnover dropped anywhere from 65 to 95%, depending on the particular sports that their audience was focused on.
Right.
And we saw a 40% uptick in casino turnover.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to have a portfolio of products that can weather different storms. But I think we all know that in a mature market like the UK, sports betting is some 40, 45, 50% of the gross win, and casino makes up most of the rest. And together, those are two very strong products that you can build a healthy business with.
Right. Great. Well, Dave, it's an exciting time for your company. I agree with you. I think technology is the answer here. I'm in New Jersey now, signing up for a lot of the sites that I haven't been able to access in Nevada, and I'm disappointed, frankly, in a lot of the apps and the player preferences and things of that nature. So I think new technology and some of the innovative ways that you're talking about it will really change the way that players interact with sportsbooks. So I think you got the right idea going on here.
Yeah, I think that there are going to be some. A friend of mine used the term emerging consumer behaviors, which I really liked. I think that living here in the UK, but being from Michigan, it's funny. We both countries speak the same language, but there's a very different culture in both places, and I think. We've got the technology to run the systems, but they need to be localized. And
right.
I don't think I think there's a lot of copying what's going on in Europe. There's a lot of copying what's going on in the black markets and trying to put the same user interface in front of the customer. But I don't think we've even scratched the surface yet of how we can use live data to engage the U.S. consumer. And I think that's what really excites me about the opportunity is watching how a market of this size will evolve and stamp its own mark on the way customers interact with the product.
Great. Well, Dave, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. We will definitely stay in touch and be reporting any of your successes. I know that you've got a lot of them lined up here. So thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Roger. It's been a pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. To learn more about sports betting technology and why it's so important to the success of the sportsbook, visit ggbmagazine.com. Get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates. Subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. And we'll see you next week on the GGB podcast.